John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And the Bible says, John chapter 14, this is a common passage you'll hear read at funerals. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, let's pray one more time and we'll get into the message tonight. Father, you know that I need you, and you know that I need your clear leading. You know that I need your help. I pray that you would empty me of myself. I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, I do pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to take comfort in the knowledge of heaven. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, heaven's going to be a wonderful place.
Amen.
Amen. But it does seem like most people aren't excited to go there. And very few people ever wonder seriously what heaven will be like. Brother David Dodson Jr. is there today. So is my grandpa. So is many other people that we love dearly. Now, I've heard a lot of arguments either way on heaven. I've heard people say things like this: heaven will be greater than we can imagine. And I believe that is true, but that doesn't mean we should not imagine. Amen. I believe people say stuff like this. I've heard people say stuff like this: heaven is everywhere. That is not true according to the Bible. Heaven is a place. It is just as real as we are standing in this room this morning. And there are some misconceptions about heaven everywhere. There's an old Far Side cartoon. How many of you know what the Far Side is? All right, there you go. It's actually some pretty funny stuff, honestly. But sometimes a little borderline inappropriate. But anyway, there's an old Far Side cartoon by Gary Larson. It shows a guy up on a cloud with wings and a halo, and he has a harp, and he's thinking to himself, and he says, boy, I wish I had brought a magazine. Now, truthfully, that's how some people picture heaven. They just think you're going to sit up on cloud with wings and a harp, and that's all you're going to do for the rest of your life. That is not a biblical concept of heaven. So tonight, very simply, I'm going to cover several thoughts about heaven, a topic I hope you will never get tired of, all right? Here's the first one. Number one, what about 1 Corinthians 2:9? Okay, take your Bibles and go with me there. You can leave your little bookmark in John chapter 14. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm gonna teach on purpose, okay? I'm not gonna probably be my normal bombastic yelling self, although sometimes it slips out here every now and then. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. And this is a common misapplication when people are talking about heaven and why we shouldn't know anything about it. All right, 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now here's the argument. We can't know the things of God because there's things that he didn't want us to know, including heaven, and we should just be satisfied not knowing the things we can't know. Okay? Now, the problem is, first of all, this passage isn't even talking about heaven. It's talking about salvation and wisdom related to salvation, because we'll find out later on, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. All right? But the first problem is that. But the second problem is, let's read verses 10 through 14. But God, all right, I have not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So there are things that, but God revealed them. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, because neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Here's what that's teaching to us, right? God has already revealed everything he wants us to know already, including the deep things of God. And the things that God wants you to know can only be revealed to a born-again Christian who's walking in the Spirit. All right, we okay with that? If you're unsaved, you cannot, you know, I meet people that say that, well, I just can't understand the Bible. Well, are you saved? Because if you're saved, you can understand the Bible, all right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit reveals those things to you. So everything then that God wanted us to know about heaven should come from here. Now, I've met a lot of people in my life, and I've talked to them about heaven, and I've heard some crazy stories about heaven. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. Now, here's the key truth that you need to know from the first statement. Everything we need to know about heaven is found in the Word of God. Not in a dream. I hear people say, well, you know what? One time I had a dream about heaven, and God showed me what heaven was like. Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but if what you saw disagrees with what Scripture says, then it wasn't God. It was that late night triple anchovy pizza that gave you the dream that you had, all right? Because I meet people. I've met them before, and they'll say, well, you know what? And usually they look at you all bug-eyed, and they're like, I've been there. And that always is like, okay, this is going to be an interesting conversation, all right? I've been to heaven. I saw the sea like glass. And they start going, and I saw this random guy that was my dad's old friend, and there's no way I've ever would have known him. Hey, folks, listen, there were people in the Bible, by the way, that God did take literally up into heaven and show them some things. Paul was one of them. John was one of them. John wrote the book of the Revelation. But you know what, folks, by and large, the narratives people tell about their going to heaven experiences, and I do believe there are near-death experiences, and I believe maybe some people see something, and I certainly believe people have dreams. I know I've had some crazy dreams. Haven't you ever had them before? Yeah. I'm sure glad not all of those are real and true. Amen. Yeah. We all had crazy dreams, but I've had people literally tell me that, well, I had this dream one time, and this is what heaven was. Now, here's the problem with that. A lot of it doesn't line up with what the Bible says about heaven. Yeah. And so I'm like, well, you know, that's a dream. Not everything that you dream is true, right? I used to have this, and you're going to laugh at me, okay? This is why I hesitate to tell some of this stuff, all right? When I was a teenager, okay? I don't know why. I used to have this dream. It's maybe the first time you ever hear this, okay? All right? Okay? You're going to laugh. I promise you. But night after night, I don't know if it was something I watched on TV. I'm not really sure. But I used to dream. That I was being attacked by multicolored rhinoceroses. And this wasn't a dream I had one time. It was a recurring thing. But that does not mean, however, that ever in reality will I be attacked by a multicolored rhinoceros. Amen? Now you're looking at me like I'm crazy, okay, all right? Now if I sat down and I asked you about all the weird dreams you ever had, I guarantee you there'd be something out there that'd be pretty wild. Why? Because dreams are dreams. You can't control whatever happens in a dream. How many of you ever had something happen to you weird in a dream? All right, thank you. Thank you for being honest. But you know what? That in no way I should wake up and go, man, that just all of a sudden shaped my whole perception about what heaven is. That's insane. Yeah. And you know why? I used to have another dream where I was skating around on a frozen lake, and all of a sudden it just fell, and you just dropped, and you were just dropping and dropping until you woke up out of your bed, you know? Yeah. My brother Roger one night, I hope he listens to this sometime on our website. My brother Roger one night had a dream that he was laying in bed, and this giant killer moth flew through our bedroom and sucked onto his neck and bit him. I'm not kidding. We had bunk beds. I'm on the top bunk. My brother wakes me up like 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's showing me his neck. And he's going, man. He's like, do you see those? And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? And he's like, those bite marks. Do you see those? And I'm like, there are no bite marks on your neck, Roger. Now, what was he doing? He had a dream that was very real. To where when he woke up, he turned the lights on and woke his brother up to check the marks on his neck. So folks, just because you have a dream about heaven does not mean that what you dream about heaven is accurate or correct. Especially if it goes against the person who made heaven.
Amen.
And so I want to say that just by way of introduction. Number two, where is heaven? Heaven is up. Heaven is up. Take your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And this is just very simple Bible logic, okay? All right? It's just very simple stuff. Colossians chapter 3. Where's heaven? Heaven is up. Colossians chapter 3. All right? Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where?
Above.
Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Talking about on our roof? Or maybe a little higher. Set your affection on things above, and what does it say right after that? Not on things on the earth. So where's above the earth? Above. All right. By the way, go to China, all right, tonight. Where's above? Is it America? No. You ever, as a kid, think you could dig a hole all the way to China? You know, you just kept digging deeper. And that's not what it's talking about. Heaven's above. Heaven is somewhere. I don't know where. God hasn't revealed to us where. There are scientists at Harvard and Yale and Princeton and other places who they say there could be as many as 12 dimensions in our world that we can't even see. And yet they cannot accept the reality that there also could be a heaven, which is amazing to me. And now they're willing to admit that there's up to at least 12 dimensions that we can't see out there. But then heaven can't be real because they don't want to believe in God. That's part of it. But you know what, folks? Heaven is up. Saved people, by the way, should be looking up. You're supposed to set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth.
Amen.
So if I'm not supposed to set my affection on things on the earth, that would mean that heaven is not here.
Right.
I've had people say that to me before. Amen. Well, heaven's right here. I'm like, boy, I sure hope not, all right? I do. I mean, I'm serious. If this is heaven, I don't want to go, friend. Why? Because our world's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some people say, well, you know, they also go the other route. They'll say, well, hell's here. And I'm like, you may feel like that, but, you know, I mean, based off your situation, maybe. But, folks, this is not hell either.
Amen.
This is a place that God created just like those two. That's what God says. Now, am I going to be able to articulate everything about heaven to you to your satisfaction or mine? No. Oh, but and am I going to be able to explain hell and the various forms of hell throughout the Bible? Because there are more than one form of hell throughout the Bible. There's going to be a second death in Revelation chapter 20. And the Bible says, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
So obviously there's a difference there. All right, there's an Old Testament word, Gehenna. We're not going to get into all that tonight necessarily. We may at some point. But you know, folks, listen, heaven is up. If heaven was on earth, why does verse 2 clearly say to focus on things above and not on things on the earth? All right, so here's the key truth. Heaven is not on this earth. Number three, heaven should be continually on our thoughts. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, where did Jesus go? Everybody knows that. Acts chapter 1, he ascended into heaven. He left the earth. He left, and obviously, he left enough to where as they watched him go away, and then he wasn't there anymore, and the angels came down and said, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus which left you, he's going to come back. And so heaven is somewhere else. Heaven should be continually on our thoughts. You know, when I moved to Jasper from Ohio, I moved to Linton first. Now, I liked Linton. That's kind of their motto when you drive into Linton, Indiana. You will like Linton, all right? Every little town has to have a catchphrase, right? But I moved to Linton to move to Jasper. I like Linton, it had its negatives, right? I live two blocks from my mother-in-law. All right, there we go. So, but it wasn't that I didn't enjoy Linton. I liked Linton. I liked living there. I paid $725 a month for rent plus utilities. You're like, preacher, can you give me that address after church? All right. That was good. I liked that. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of nice things to say about it. But because it wasn't my final destination of where I was trying to move to, I enjoyed it there, but I could not wait to get to Jasper. Now, some of you are like, preacher, that's crazy. I know, but God, this is where God put me.
Yeah.
And you know what? When I was preparing to move from Ohio to Jasper, even though I moved to Jasper by way of Linton, Linton was never my home. It was never where I cared about. It was never my final, where my affection was, because I was more concerned about coming here. Right. Hey, Christian, if you're saved, you're going to live a lot longer in heaven than you ever will on this earth.
Amen.
And so this is our home, but you know what? It's only my temporary home. This world is not, we sing that song in church, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Yeah. And you know what, by the way, I do believe at some point, new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem, and we'll talk about that sometime in a later time, we will live in the new Jerusalem and it will come out of heaven. The Bible clearly says that. And so folks, I believe it comes back to a new earth. And by the way, I just believe if we're going to believe the Bible, we ought to believe the Bible, amen?
Amen.
And you know what, there are times, okay? There are times when something I may have been taught in my youth disagrees with what the Bible says. And the Bible is right, and James Young is wrong.
Right.
And that is a hallmark that I will live on and I will die on. Okay? I'll throw one in here. I'm not mad at anybody. This morning, I gave the material to Brother Fisher that he taught. And I said, teach this and say it exactly. There was one thing in there that I did not realize was in there that I disagree with wholeheartedly. I just happened to be teaching children Sunday school while that happened. I talked to him about it this afternoon. I'm not mad at him. He doesn't even believe it. Me and him talked about it. I'm fine. You do not have to be a Baptist, baptized as a Baptist, for it to be biblical. That is wrong. Now hang on here. I'm going to help you out. Salvation is scriptural. Salvation is what? By grace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Baptism is done by what? Immersion. After salvation.
Amen.
That is a Bible teaching. That is how everybody in the Bible, they got saved, then they got baptized. But there are some Baptists who teach you have to be baptized in a Baptist church for it to be biblical baptism, and that is an unscriptural and unbiblical belief. Because there will be more than Baptists in heaven.
Amen.
Now, there are hills that I will die on. I will die on the fact that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. You do not get to heaven any other way.
Amen.
And by the way, that doesn't mean that I believe our method is wrong. I believe the method is scriptural.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, my grandpa got saved in a Brethren church and baptized in a Nazarene church. Mm-hmm. So he would not be scriptural. Mm-hmm. And I've had him preach here. Folks, what I'm saying is there are times, and there are men that I love. The man that I love the man who wrote the Sunday school material that we teach. And by the way, I believe 99.9% of it is 100% accurate and biblical. But every now and then, someone makes a statement that is their opinion, and it is not biblical. And I am going to run back to this every single time.
Amen.
Why? Because this is right. You say, preacher, that's not always popular. I know it's not always popular.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I should have caught it, and we should have talked about it earlier. Honestly, it should have never even been said. Because the truth is, you cannot give me one scripture that says you have to be baptized in a Baptist church. I know, listen, I believe you have to get saved, and I believe you have to be baptized scripturally after salvation in obedience to Jesus Christ, because that is a Bible teaching. But let's say you got saved scripturally at a community church and you got baptized scripturally by immersion at a community church or a non-denominational church, which is just really a Baptist church with a cool website. Okay, that's all it is. But you know what? Let's say you got saved at one of those and baptized at one of those, and then you come to join a church and you want to join a Baptist church because you believe it teaches the Bible. By the way, I believe we teach the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't do that. But what I'm saying is, all of a sudden I say, well, wait a minute, you got to get baptized in our church before you can join our church. Now, if you got baptized for the wrong reason, you got baptized because you were 3 and your mom said you needed to get baptized, okay, that's not a scriptural reason to get baptized, all right? I'm going to explain to you what salvation is, and I'm going to ask you to get saved, okay, before you can become a member of our church. Everybody okay with that, okay?
Amen.
All right, your preacher just needs to say some stuff sometimes, all right? I love y'all, and I don't want there to be confusion, and I don't want there to be dissension, all right? There are some things I will die on. I will die on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it is of works, it's not of grace.
Amen.
But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that if you got, by the way, what if you got baptized at a Baptist church that doesn't believe like we do? I mean, our vice president claims to be Baptist. That's a far cry. But she claims it. She claims it. And she also believes that a woman should have the right to murder a baby up until and even after the baby's born.
Amen.
So you know what? The Bible's right. And she's wrong no matter what she says she is.
Amen.
Folks, let's just stick with this. All right, there we go. Back to our message, all right? I know. We even have a visitor tonight, and I still address that in church, okay? Folks, listen. Because you know what? Every now and then there is something. Every now and then there is something. And I have talked to guys. And I listen, there are many good men that I love. I love them. But you know what? They believe that you have to be a Baptist and baptized at a Baptist church in order to go to heaven. Now, do I believe what we teach is right? Absolutely. But I'm not going to sit here and say if you got saved scripturally and baptized scripturally that you're disobedient to Christ simply because it wasn't in a BAPTIST church. All right? Everybody okay?
Amen.
All right. By the way, a lot of people that go to a BAPTIST church, they don't even know why they are that in the first place. I'll tell you why I am that. Number one, B, stands for Bible is the final authority. This is the final authority.
Amen.
There's no Baptist Pope. There's no Baptist hierarchy. I don't get my marching order. I go to this.
Amen.
The letter A, I'm just going to use the word Baptist. Autonomy of local churches. Churches in the Bible were independent. They worked together for the cause of Christ, but they were independent people. They were made up of saved and baptized members that joined together and just went out and loved people and loved their communities. There is, by the way, they were called people of that way at one point. They were called Christians at one point. They were called Petrobrusians and Waldensians and all sorts of stuff throughout history. And then people that like this started teaching people, now wait a minute, okay, there's nowhere in the Bible that says infant baptism's in the Bible. Because it's not.
Amen.
It isn't. And it doesn't do anything for anybody. So I'm going to stand on that.
Yeah.
But you know what, folks, listen. And you know what, I got baptized when I was a little kid, okay? Before I ever knew what salvation was. And maybe I did, maybe I just didn't understand. I don't know. I remember getting baptized. And I remember as a teenager getting saved. So you know what I did? I got rebaptized as a profession that I trusted Christ as my Savior and understood what it meant, okay?
Amen.
And that's why we got started being called, people started calling us Anabaptists in the first place. Because we rebaptized people, because we thought, we just taught people they need to do stuff in the right order, okay? And if you did it in the wrong order, you need to get back in the right order. And I believe in all that. I believe that's biblical, and I believe that's logical, and that's not even part of the message tonight, because we're supposed to be talking about heaven. But you know what, folks, listen. My desire at this church is not to be the biggest church. It's not to be the best church. It is just to be a biblical church.
Amen.
And it is to say, we're just going to believe this book and we're going to teach this book. And by the way, that means sometimes some of the teaching we had prior to coming here, we may have to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that is okay, myself included. Because
yeah.
You don't think I've ever learned and grown a little bit? Absolutely, I have.
Yeah. Amen.
Why? Because you read this Bible and you know what? I just look at it and I examine it, and I don't just pick out one verse here and one verse there, and I look at the whole body of truth and say, I know what I have believed. I know it. All right. Everybody okay with that tonight?
Amen.
Smile, say amen.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
If you're not, listen, if you still need more time about that, we'll talk about it, okay? I mean that. I honestly do. Because I don't believe just going anywhere takes you to heaven either, okay? And I think you already know that. But you know what? Number three, heaven should be continually on our thoughts. Hey, when I think about heaven, though, it'll influence my today. Colossians 3 tells us to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Why? Because that influences how I live.
Yeah.
Why? Because in reality, does any of this stuff really matter that much? I mean, does it matter if you have a Cadillac Escalade and a Range Rover and a $400,000 house and you manicured your lawn every single... Does that matter in light of eternity?
No.
No. But that's how a lot of people live.
Amen.
Does it matter if you die having the most guns? No. My guns are cool. I know I'm going to lose some amens on that one. Okay, all right. You know, they are. But truthfully, in light of eternity, if I have my affection on Christ and on things above, in light of eternity, I want to do things that please Him because I'm going to live a lot longer with Him than I am here on this earth.
Amen.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't care about, you know what, you ought to want to have a nice house, and you ought to want to have a nice things, and it's okay to take care of what you do have, by the way. And I think all of that's good and biblical and right and fine. And I don't think if you have money, it makes you any less better of a Christian than if you don't. Those aren't biblical concepts. But you know what, folks, listen, when I think about heaven, it'll influence my today. If you knew you had 1 year to live, what would you try to get done in that time? Then why do you not do those things today?
Right.
You know what? 5 months ago, I sat down at a restaurant with a man, and he asked me, "Preacher, I just want to know for sure that I'm going to heaven." And yesterday, I preached his funeral. Now, when people always talk to me about preparing to go to heaven, I always say, listen, I want you around for a lot more years.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is, can any of you guarantee me that you will be here a year from today? I can't either. You know how many times I read the obituary column and somebody my age is in it?
Amen.
A lot. A lot. Way more than I am comfortable with.
Yeah.
Folks, listen, here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. We'll say, well, I got a long time to live. I can do what I want for God. And I do think, I understand. If you know you had 6 months to live, you'd be a little more motivated, right? I would too. Okay, honestly. I'd sit down and write. But you know what? Truthfully, that ought to motivate me because my affection's on things above. Hey, I don't know how long I have left. I don't know how long I have left to preach publicly and freely in America.
Right.
I don't know how long we have left to do what we're doing tonight. Because there are countries where you can't do this. There are countries where if you say you're a Christian, they literally persecute you and jail you and in some cases kill you.
Yeah.
And it happens all over in Africa.
Amen.
I monitor it. I've got people over there that I know and love. And there are some parts of the world right now where they are literally killing Christians by the hundreds.
Yeah.
And you won't hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you follow that kind of news specifically. But folks, listen, hey, while I have the opportunity to serve God, I ought to. Why? Because I love Him. I love Him, and I'm going to spend eternity with Him. Number four, heaven is a real, literal place. In our text, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again." Is He going and coming from somewhere that doesn't exist? Can He go prepare something that doesn't exist? It just doesn't make any sense, okay?
Right.
There are some just people that teach that heaven is just a state. Well, if it's just that, God created it.
Mm-hmm.
Did He create earth? According to the Bible, He did. Created the heaven and the earth.
Yeah.
Now, it's talking about, in Genesis 1, it's talking about the sky, by the way.
Yeah.
Heaven doesn't always mean eternal heaven or present heaven, all right?
Yeah.
And we'll teach some of this as we go through. I'm going to teach several lessons on heaven here. Not all tonight. Okay, don't worry. All right. You're like, session number 3 will be at 7 o'clock. No, but you know, folks, truthfully, we can talk a long time about heaven. But heaven is a place. Heaven is a real and literal place. Number five, heaven is what gives saved people hope. Take your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul's telling them to walk as a Christian, to believe. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, he's not talking about that person next to you in the pew that's nodding off during the message, all right? "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, folks, listen, you got to understand, especially in this time, what's going on here. The Christians here are under Roman persecution. And people are being killed, and people are being murdered, and people are being burned at the stake, and they're being tortured. They're being tied to poles and used as bonfires to light these emperors' palaces. They're being taken into coliseums, and they're being ripped apart by animals, and just all kinds of horrendous things. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read the Martyr's Mirror sometime. Those are just historical accounts of things that the Roman emperors did to Christians. And so these people are being tortured and killed in just absolute barbaric ways. Why? Because Rome was a pagan nation. They had a multiplicity of gods that they worshipped. And they did not like this fact that people were teaching there was one guy named Jesus and he was the way. And so they were killing all these Christians. And Paul is writing this to them, giving them comfort, giving them hope, and saying, hey, don't worry about those people who are asleep. That word asleep there in the Bible, it means to be dead. You ever walk by a casket? You know what that person looks like? They look like they're asleep. They're at rest. They're at peace. You know what you say when you walk by? Boy, they sure look peaceful, don't they?
Yeah.
They do. Because they're asleep. Their body's there. Their soul's not. Their spirit's not. It's somewhere right now. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you know what, folks? Listen, heaven is what gives saved people hope. Here's what Paul says. We're not supposed to be ignorant of those who are already dead. Those who are physically alive will go up, will be caught up. Those who are dead will be caught up. And what happens when we get caught up? Who are we going to be with? We're going to be with the Lord. I mean, isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
According to the Bible. You say, preacher, I just don't believe that. Okay, fine, don't believe it, all right? You can believe whatever you want to believe. I'm not your mama, okay? All right, I'll let you believe what you want. I'm just going to believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says when I get caught up, if I'm alive, if I'm dead, God's going to raise me up. And if I'm alive, I'm going to get caught up, and I'm going to be with the Lord forever.
Amen.
You know what? That gives me comfort.
Yeah.
Why? Because our world drives me crazy. It does. Why? Because it's awful. They can't decide, we could just go on and on about the craziness of the world. I don't even got to tell you that, because if you watch 5 minutes of news this week, you already know.
Amen.
Our world's insane. Our world's just, I look at our world and I just go. And every time I think I've heard, like, the weirdest and wildest thing, they top that. I mean, I think there's like a group of people out there, they just want to see if they can get crazier.
Amen.
I mean, folks, we are living in those in the 1 Timothy chapter 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, to see somebody, listen, how a person, apart from just a reprobate mindset, could take a weapon and walk into a school and start and just start unloading, how a person could do that is beyond my comprehension.
Amen.
And it ought to be, by the way. I mean, how a person could even do it. And the problem is now people say, well, you know, I'm going to take away the guns. The guns are not the problem.
Amen.
It never has been. It's the heart of man.
Amen.
You take away guns, stabbings are going to go up. Okay, friend, why? The heart of man is it's wicked.
Amen.
And you know what? You know what my comfort is? Hey, someday I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus.
Amen.
It's a comfort. You know what? That's a comfort. You know what it is? You know what? When you lose a loved one, you know what the comfort is? Knowing for sure that they trust that Jesus Christ is their Savior and they're going to be in heaven. Now, I'll be honest with you. Some of you know what it's like to lose someone, and I do too. I know what it's like to be at funerals of family members or friends, and I don't know where they are. That is hard. But you know what? When I'm at a funeral of somebody I know that trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. By the way, hang on to your seatbelts. Buckle up here real quick. Okay. I believe there are people in many different kinds of religions that will be in heaven.
Amen.
Because they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior.
That's right. Amen.
In spite of what they are taught.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay? Now, there are teachings overall that I will always decry. But I have met Catholic people who are saved.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, I can sit down and I can go through the Bible with you. And several of them, they give a testimony like this. I did trust Christ as my Savior. Now, here's the problem. The problem is when somebody believes a church takes them to heaven.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do believe that.
Amen.
By the way, a lot of Baptists believe that.
Amen.
They believe because they look, act, think apart that they're going to heaven. You're going to heaven by salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know. It's a little. It's we're going deeper. Okay. Folks, but you know what? Truthfully, that's where a church is supposed to go. Amen. All right.
Amen.
And on a Sunday night, we can go there sometimes. Amen. Amen. Folks, listen. Listen. You are not saved because you belong to a certain church. You are saved because you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior.
That's right.
But there are a lot of people that are blind. And I'm not going to sit there and tell them that drinking the juice and eating a wafer is going to get them into heaven.
Right.
Okay? We all okay?
Amen.
All right. But I have met many. I talked to a man yesterday here at the funeral, Hawaiian man. And I asked him, I said, let me ask you, are you a Christian? He said, and this is what he told me. He said, preacher, I grew up in Maryland. I grew up in the military. He grew up in Hawaii most of his life. He still lives in Hawaii, okay? He's a Hawaiian guy. He just looks like one. And he said, but I was raised Catholic. But he said, I do believe with all my heart that the only reason I'm going to heaven is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, is he ever going to be a Baptist? Probably not. But according to his testimony, he will be in heaven.
Amen.
Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
Now, I'm still going to stand for truth, and I'm still going to decry error. And you know what? I've been to a lot of hospitals where I didn't agree with the doctor. That doesn't mean all the patients are bad that you know, okay? So just because the general teaching from on high is wrong doesn't mean that everybody that belongs in it is lost. But a lot of them are. All right. Why are you deviating so much, preacher? I don't know. No matter what happens in this life, I am going to heaven because I'm saved.
Amen.
Not because I'm a Baptist preacher, not because I'm a good person. I'm saved. Number six, and that gives me hope. Number six, there is a present heaven and there is a future heaven. Take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 21. Oh, I'm doing good on time. I may even finish ever so slightly early. Revelation Chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verses 1 through 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. All right? What does it say right after that? For the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, there's a new heaven and a new earth someday. Now, we'll talk. There's a lot between in Revelation between now and there. But there will be someday a new God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to be different than the first heaven and the first earth.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see how you can get any more clear in your Bible teaching than that, all right? There has to be a different heaven than the one there is now.
Amen.
There is a present heaven. When you die, and if you die before Revelation, before this tribulation period here, if you die before this, friend, you're going to be in the present heaven. Jesus said that, by the way. What did he tell the thief on the cross? This day thou wilt be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
So where were they? Did they go somewhere that doesn't exist? No. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus talked about the rich man and being in hell. It is a real literal place. That wasn't a parable because he names Lazarus by name. He never used names in parables. It's a real literal place. But you know what? There's a present heaven, there's a future heaven, and we will live in the New Jerusalem with God. He will be our God, and that'll be a wonderful day. Amen.
Amen.
Some people say, well, do we live in heaven? Well, the Bible says we live in New Jerusalem and we live with God. And you know what? You can argue all you want about whether we'll live in heaven or live in New Jerusalem on the new earth. And I know better men than me that bat their heads at that all the time and argue about it. And listen, truthfully, if I'm going to be with God and I'm going to be saved and live with him forever, I don't care where I live. Okay, all right? I don't care where I live. But you know what? We'll teach on that. We'll teach on the New Jerusalem soon. But you know what? Do we remain conscious after death? All right? This right now. Before all of that. Number 7. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:7. In Luke 16, 19 through 31, Christ depicts two men being literally in hell and one in Abraham's bosom, which was paradise, which, by the way, before Jesus Christ died, was the Old Testament holding place for believers until Christ's death and deliverance to the present heaven. I know some of that's a little bit deep, okay? If you want my notes after church, I'll be happy to give them to you. In Luke chapter 23, verse number 43, Jesus tells the dying thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Paul was in a conundrum whether it was better for him to be physically alive or to be with Christ upon his death. Philippians 1:23. Paul said, "I love to be with Christ, but it's better for me to be here." He also said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, "To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord." Now, I don't know how well you can get any plainer than that. When you die, you're absent from your earthly temporal body.
Amen.
But you are present with the Lord if you're saved. Amen.
Yeah.
You are there. And by the way, what is your mind is what tells your body it's in pain in the first place.
Yeah.
That's why right now people that have died that are in hell, they still feel the fires of hell because their mind and their heart and their spirit is there. Amen. All right. You say, "Preacher, that's a little bit deep for me." All right. Let the Bible do its work.
Amen.
Your spirit and soul are the two parts of you that go somewhere upon death. Your physical body stays put until the resurrection, or if you're unsaved, until you stand before the great white throne of Revelation chapter 20. Here's the conclusion. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Friend, will you be there? If you're not looking forward to heaven, either you don't understand what it will be like, or you're not sure if you're going. If I bought a nice present for my kids, all right, and I told them, "Guys, if I told you I had a present in the closet and I put it up on the shelf, would you try to figure out what it was?" What? Uh-huh. Yeah, you say that. But in reality, he does, doesn't he? Why? Because if I buy a gift for somebody, my wife's the worst one, honestly. She is. If I tell her I bought something for her, "What is it?" "I'm not telling you. It's a surprise." "Well, just tell me where it's from." Well, no, because then you could guess.
Yeah.
Well, I maybe I couldn't guess. I just kind of want to know, "Did you order it on Amazon?" You know, and you know what she's going to do? She's going to go log into Amazon later and see what I ordered. You know what? If I have a gift for her that I say, "I'm going to give it to you in 3 weeks." By the way, that would never, I mean, I would get annoyed every single day until I gave it to her. I always give her a birthday present before a birthday, or, you know, a Christmas present. No, I don't always. But why? Because when you know there's a gift awaiting you, you want to know what's in it.
Right.
And you want to know what it contains. Because
right.
You're excited about opening it.
Amen.
You already know where I'm going with this, don't you? You know what? If I said, "Listen, you don't need to know anything about the, you don't need to know the details. The details are mine." You know what? They're going to keep asking, Hey, Dad, can we look in the pantry? All right. And then they try to figure out where you hid it, right? I mean, come on. They're like, "Is it in the pantry? Is it in your office?" And they're watching for me to hesitate, you know, and reveal my secret hiding location. They wouldn't be satisfied. They would want to know all the details that they could because Dad has a gift that he's bought for them. And while they will not get to enjoy that gift until the day that I give it to them, they await with eager anticipation. What does Romans 6:23 say? "For the wages of sin is death, but the what?
Gift
of God is what?
Eternal life.
Where's that going to be?
Heaven.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
Heaven. Now, we have it when we get saved, but you know what? Ultimately, it's going to be in heaven. So why as Christians would we be content just saying, "Oh, I don't really know what heaven will be like or want to know or look forward to it"? Hey, listen, I believe this with all my heart. We are living in such a selfish world. But did you know, really, up until the past 100 years, Christians, for the most part, were looking forward to going to heaven?
Amen.
But our culture has so desensitized us and shifted us to a now me generation that I fear if we're not careful, we'll not look forward to heaven like we should.
Mm-hmm.